Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Oh my gosh, how about you sitting in a church that blessed 1,000 classrooms last week? Teachers came in and got their classroom supplies. It's the Pulpa Sky took right here in Tulsa. Teachers came from Oklahoma City. Give God a hand for the generosity of this church. Years ago, Pastor Sandy and I were just talking and what we want to be known for. And we're known for a lot of things. Of course, the nightmares coming up and all the outreach that we do and the people that we help. But the bottom line is our heart is for the world to know how generous we are. And it's interesting because we as the seed of Abraham, as sons and daughters of Abraham, the father of the faith is what the Bible refers to it as, is he said, and in us, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And you know, we look at it, I think a lot of times we think we have short arms and how we can reach people. And God never has short arms. His arm is strong and it's long and can reach everybody. And you know what? He uses us. And I'm excited about what God's doing here. I'm excited about your life. I'm excited about the elevation in so many people's lives. And I just want you to know that the message this morning in the next few weeks is just going to be about, really honestly, it's about prosperity. And I'm not talking about money. Okay, when the Bible refers to poverty and the Bible refers to prosperity, do you understand that they're conflicting spirits is what they are? Prosperity is a blessing that God gives us that lifts our lives. And poverty is a curse that the devil puts on us that suppresses our lives. And you know, the Bible says that Jesus became a curse for us. And that curse was poverty, sickness, and death. And that's what was crucified on that cross. That's what hung on that tree is our poverty, our sickness, and our premature death, and even our spiritual death. So what we understand now is the prosperous life that God's given us. You know, I started meditating last week and it came out of left field. And honestly, that's how I know that it's usually God when that happens. But I started thinking about new wine and new wineskins. And it's interesting because I think what God wants to do every time we even think about, we read, we study, we meditate upon his word, every time we do, God wants to give us new wine. Okay, but you know what? The Bible's clear. We can't take new wine and put it in old wineskins because that new wine's alive and pliable. Man, it expands, it contracts, it moves. But you know what? Old wineskins don't. And the Bible says when we take new wine and put it in old wineskins, that wineskin will break and that new wine will be poured out over the ground and be ruined, and the wineskin will be ruined as well. And I started thinking about our lives. I started thinking about the new wine that God wants to deliver in our lives. And I see that wine as prosperity. Okay, whether it's fermented or unfermented, however you want to argue the whole deal, I'm just talking about it real simply, okay? What it is, it's the best wine. And it's prosperity. That's what the correlation is. So now God wants to give us new prosperity, but that requires a new mindset. Does that make sense? And see, and in Proverbs, the third chapter in the ninth verse, the Bible's real clear, and there's going to be some power words that I'm going to bring up as we read this. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, okay? The two power words here for me are our possessions and our increase. You know, it's interesting because people will say, well, you know, I'm a Christian businessman. I've dedicated my business to God. I've given my business to God. It's like, well, that's great, except you get the proceeds for the most part. And I know people tithe off it, the whole deal, but the bottom line is I don't believe God, and make no mistake about it, I don't believe God is wanting to pull back and not give you the opportunity to have possessions. He just doesn't want those possessions to have you. See, so what we have to do is we have to honor God. We have to give to God the idea of our possessions, okay? And the first fruits of our increase. So think about the two power words here is possessions and increase, okay? And this starts to make, let me tell you, if there's any kind of religious fiber on the inside of you, it's gonna at least grit its teeth this morning. okay? Because what this is going to be a message attacking the religious side of people that really honestly is a condemning side, is a repressing side, is it becomes depression in our lives. Because it's like, well, I don't know that God wants me to have all this stuff. No, God wants you to have, listen, the God that we serve, and I want you to think about this as like if you were a four-year-old kid and junior kids right now. But if you ask any of those four-year-old kids, where does God live? What are they going to say? In my heart, in me. Okay? So when I ask the question, answer it like a four-year-old kid. Okay? Hey, where does God live? In my heart. God lives in my heart. God's taken residency in my heart, okay? But listen, and the Bible says that God owns cattle on 1,000 hills. So if he lives in our heart, by identity and by connection, oh my gosh, those are mine. Because I'm an inheritor of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Does that make sense? See, so now think about it. Say, wait a second, God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And that's not, hey, I know this guy that owns cattle on 1,000 hills. No, it's like that's my dad. I'm in his family. I therefore am a partaker of those cattle on 1,000 hills. See, that's the prosperity of God. See, prosperity to me isn't so much about money. When Pastor Sandy and I, can I introduce Sandy to you? Sandy, you want to say hi to everybody? Say hi. Say hey. Great weekend last week. Sandy and the great team she's got. I mean, I just, every year, it's like, how are we going to even come near the standard? And then they raise the bar every single year, and it's a great team of people with the brunch / tailgate party. Next year, I'm not sure what it'll be. Do you know Sandy? Any teasers in here today? Huh? She knows, but she's tight-lipped about it. But if she tells me, I leak information because I preach a lot. I'm a leaker. I don't know. Some of you guys, it's a Mission Impossible thing. Have you guys gotten by that yet? I haven't been to a movie since, thank God, because I'll spoil them. Anyway, it wasn't that good, okay? But I don't know if some of you guys got offended because it's the best movie you ever saw. It's like, dear God, you never saw Animal House? What the heck? What the heck? You guys probably like Star Wars too. Okay, so what was I talking about? Sandy and I will talk. Sandy, what were we talking about when I was referring to that? It's not about money. Prosperity is not money. Prosperity is control. See, it's not about money. Poverty is not about money. It's about control. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of poor people out there that work just as hard to be poor as people do to get money. I'm just telling you. And I love poor folk. Man, we want to minister to poor people. But the last thing I want to do is pastor a poor church. I'm just telling you, it's not about money. It's about control. If you can't gain control of your thought life and your words and your actions and your habits, I'm telling you, you're going to be bouncing from one dilemma to another. And the bottom line with this is that God's got new prosperity for you in your life in the name of Jesus. Anybody receive that? Here, I'm going to say it again. I want you to receive it. God's got new prosperity in your life, and he wants to give it to you every single day in the name of Jesus. Yes. See, what it does is that tips the scales now in your favor. And that's what we've got to understand. Honor the Lord with possessions, the first fruit of your increases. Listen to verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now you think about that, and think about the power words again. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Filled with plenty. Your vats will what? Overflow with new prosperity. See, that's God's heart for you today. Please listen to this. This isn't something that maybe I ate some spicy food and I had a vision of the Lord. No, you know what? I'm telling you, this is the leading of the Lord for our lives. This isn't just a talking series the next 3 weeks. Man, what this is actually life. For us, it's a new life. It's new prosperity. Is there anybody in here, really honestly, that you're like, no, you know what? I don't want any new prosperity. And you know what? You don't have to change jobs. You don't need to get a raise. There's no bonuses. I'll tell you, if any of that stuff comes, that's great. But I'm telling you, it doesn't come from the north, south, east, and west. It comes from above. And it starts with that the wineskin that we allow God to fill and overflow in our lives. Too often we use these terms like, oh, this is mind-blowing. I think the first time you hear it, it's great. Some of you guys, maybe this is the first time you've heard something like this. No, you know what? It's mind-stretching. And that's in terms of like a wineskin. A wineskin's pliable. Your mind's got to be stretched. You've got to stretch your mind a little bit. Man, I'll tell you what, you're going to see things. You're going to hear conflicting things. The Bible says the enemy comes immediately to steal a seed. He's going to come in your thought life. You're gonna sense, or you're gonna hear, or you're gonna think about conflicting things. And then what you've got to do is you've got to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. And you might say, oh my gosh, I've got 25,000 thoughts a day. On the average, every person has 25,000 thoughts every single day. How can you bring every thought into captivity? You know why? Because you have one at a time. You have one thought at a time. And you know what you've got to do? You get a conflicting thought to this. It's like, it's not true. You know, I made my bed. I got to sleep into it. And it, let me explain to you about making your bed and sleeping in it. Yes, there are ramifications. There are things that happen in our lives. But what God does, listen, he makes his mercies new every morning. Because he knows us. See, none of you guys, no matter what kind of life you've had, God's not wore out with you. Man, what God's mercies are new every morning. And if you think about that, why? Why are God's mercies new every morning? Because he wants us to live in his grace. Anybody in this earth, no matter how good a person that you are, without the mercy of God, because we can't earn it and we don't deserve it. See, and that makes it awkward. That makes us, our flesh, easy targets for the devil. Man, the devil knows you didn't earn it. Devil knows you don't deserve it. Your devil knows you can't live a good enough life to have God's supernatural ability operating. You guys hearing me here? The devil knows that. So what he's going to do, he's going to try to pick on your flesh. Man, your flesh is an easy target for him. That's why we've got to be spirit-minded. We've got to be spirit-led and not things carnally. We are in this world, but we're not of it. Man, some of you guys have made horrific mistakes. Get over it. God's mercies are new this morning. And since his mercies are new, what that does is that's the threshold for us to be able to walk in his grace, his supernatural ability, his favor, and his power. Man, I want to live a powerful life. Is anybody with me on that? I want to live the authority that God's given me to live over everything, listen, that flies, that runs, that crawls, that creeps, that swims on the earth. Man, everything's subject to me now in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus didn't just come back as the Son of God. He came back as the Son of Man. He came back as the seed of Abraham. He came back as the second Adam. And what God did was God reverted everything back to that place of dominion that Adam and Eve walked in. And see, all Adam and Eve did was signed off a lease on the earth. So now it's like, wait a second, the world's broken, the world's fallen. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to anybody? Why do bad things happen to kids? Because the world is broken. It is. We're not here to fix the world. We live in a broken world. We are just not of it. And it's all about our mindset. It's all about that new wineskin. And that's what we've got to understand. Man, we've got to understand that God's promise is filled, which makes us fulfilled and overflowing. And see, the overflowing part of it, like if we could, we just try to get people, it's interesting because I remember when I started ministering to the football coaches at the University of Tulsa. And after 6 or 8 weeks, every Monday I had a coaches meeting. And I just taught the word of faith because I'll tell you that works for coaches. People that are competitive, type A people, alpha people, man, I'm telling you, the word of faith is an incredible doctrine. It's the strongest doctrine on the planet. It's just how we communicate it. It can't be mean-spirited or us and them or better than anybody. Man, it's always got to be this. We have to keep God first in our life. God's got to be here, okay, number one. Number two is people. Man, if they live and breathe and grunt and if they're on the earth and they're a human being, they're second in our lives. And then we're somewhere down the list, at least third or more, okay? So I'm third. That's how we have to preach this. That's how we have to live this. But it's interesting because I said, you know, one guy said, and the head coach, Todd Graham, was a dear friend of mine. He said, well, Pastor Bill, man, I want God to be at the top of my list, number one on my list. I said, man, that'd be awesome. He said, what do you mean that'd be awesome? I said, I'm just trying to get God on your list. If we can just get God on your list, he can work his way up. But see, that's how it is. For some of you guys right now, you may not be here today and go, you'll go, oh, dear God, I'm going to put God first on my list. Okay. Well, then it doesn't become a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not like the old-time religion where it's like don't dance or smoke or chew or hang out with people that do. It's not like that now, okay? It's not do's and don'ts. It's life and death. It's blessing and cursing. You know, in Mark, turn to the book of Mark and go to chapter 2 and verse 22. And Jesus said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled and pours out on the ground. And the new wineskins are ruined, but the new wine must be put in new wineskins. Sure, the thought of new here is great. The thought is like, man, a new car, a new house, a new pair of boots. And that thought is great, but there's no headway without the combination of new wine and new wineskins. Do you understand? It's a combination. Like we're thinking, okay, God, where are you? God, why do I have so much lack? God, why am I dealing with this addiction? God, why do I have this depression? God, why do I have this issue? And it's like, well, God's not the issue. The wineskin, the mindset is always the issue. Always. Okay, God's always faithful. And all he's asking for us to get on that same page of faithfulness, and I'm telling you, that's when all heaven breaks loose in life. Anybody into that? Anybody into an open heaven above their lives? You guys here today? So you see the thought of this, what we're getting today is new wine. What we're getting today is new prosperity. You have to bring a new wineskin, a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You got to let it. God's word will produce that if you let it. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be in right standing with God. What the Bible actually, what it actually says in the original text is to be eye level with God. See, there's a place for you to live. You can live where everybody else lives, okay? And it's at this level right here. Or today you could choose to live at a higher level, to think at a higher level, to respond at a higher level, to have behavior at a higher level, to have your habits at a higher level. And that higher level, what we're doing is we're inching our way up to that level of God. See what God's given us the highway of holiness for us to travel on. That's an elevated highway. And the Bible says sin can't travel on it. See, so we have to look at our lives and we have to understand now that the new outcomes are produced, listen, by new initiatives. And see, and that's a problem, I think, with church people. You have to take new initiatives. Business people know that. Man, Terry's been an elder in this church for years, and he's a businessman, and he's been in business for 30 years or more. Well, let me tell you, as the times change, and as business change, and as models change, he has changed. And he stayed incredibly effective, but that change is required, and that you have to go to a higher level. Man, we're not going back to 1965 church. We're not going back to 1975 church. We're going to reach people that are going to different places. Man, the local church downtown, that church service on Tuesday nights is to reach young professionals and young people. Man, people that are going that direction. That's what we want to do. We don't need to form the parade. We just want to get out in front of it. So it's going to require new initiatives and, listen, new behaviors. Write those two things down. Man, tomorrow when you wake up, God, I thank you that your mercies are brand new. I'm going to live in your grace. God, I thank you for an incredible day today, a day with new initiatives and new behaviors. New initiatives and new behaviors. The New Testament is so clear that we have to have our identity as new creations in Christ. And that's just not a one-time thing when we make Jesus Lord of our life. Are you listening to this? We make that decision every single day. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because God's mercies are new this morning, and God's mercies enable me to live in God's grace, his supernatural ability. See, that's what prosperity is. God giving me control back of my life. Man, Roger Walsh and I had a discussion 20 years ago. He's an elder here in the church as well, a man of God. Man, he and Barb raising incredible kids, building a new house. And you know what? 20 years ago, he started making investments. And so I'm talking to him, I'm saying, that's interesting. It's interesting that you're doing this. And you know what? He was probably 15 years ahead of the curve. A lot of people are doing what he's doing now. But 20 years ago, very few people were doing it. And I asked him, I said, so what's your aim? What's the goal of this? What's your target? What's the purpose of this? What's the why of these investments? He said, it's real simple, Pastor. I'm buying my life back. And I thought about that. Let me tell you, 20 years ago, that comment that he made an indelible mark on the inside of me. See, what God wants to do is God paid the ultimate price, the price of his son, for you to be able to buy your life back. Are you listening to me? See, and you understand this now where it's like, you know, the world talks about it as soft income. And you know what? Man, I'm just telling you, the world talks about pennies from heaven. I'm just telling you, with the tithe, with God's blessing upon your life, there's an open heaven above your life. There's nothing keeping you from everything that God has in his power and his possession. And I'm telling you, man, this is good news. It's not too good to be true news. You know why? Because this is speaking to your spirit, man. I'm telling you, every doubt in your life is flaring up right now. And you know what I say? Let that doubt scream bloody murder. And you know what I think we do? We follow after Jesus. The Bible says, let God's word be the truth and every other opinion a lie. See, and in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, some of you guys have lived pitiful lives up to now. No one's judging you. Nobody's throwing any rocks at you. I'm just telling you, it is what it is. And you've gone through a lot. But if anyone's in Christ, listen, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The next verse is awesome. It says, now all things are of God. If that's how we see things, man, well, I'm a new creation in Christ. It's how I see things. It's how I process things. It's how I think about my experiences. Oh my gosh. Man, so many times we get stuck in a moment. Something happened in our life and we carry that baggage through life. But you know what? Man, Jesus was real clear in Matthew 6. He says, therefore, don't worry saying, keep your mouth shut if worry, you get tempted to worry. Don't worry saying, what shall I eat or what shall I drink or what shall I wear? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, see, you guys have heard me say, man, everything I value in my life, every single thing I value, everything on this front row, everything in my home, everything that I put value on has come to me. I haven't had to go out and get it. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need, he knows, he already knows, intimately knows that you need these things. But seek first, listen, the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. You young guys in here, seek God's way of doing things. There's a way the world does it. There's a way maybe your parents have done it. And there's a way that God does it. Man, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right standing. See who I am? Man, I'm a frail, fallen, mistake-ridden fella. But you know what? When I identify myself in Christ, as a new creation in Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new. Now, all things in my life are of God. So I seek first God's way of doing things and his right standing. Your approval shouldn't matter to me. My approval doesn't matter to you. Man, you guys in here, let me just tell you something. Most of church work is just dealing with daddy issues. Can I ask you to cut the tether and the tie of maybe the pain or the disappointment or the rejection or whatever it is you got from your dad? My dad stuck around for no days. When I was a year and a half years old, my dad married my mom. Listen, I never called him my stepdad. Married my mom. When I was five, let this sink in. When I was five, he adopted me. I lived with him from the time I was 16 months old to where I was 5 years old. And you know what? At 5 years old, he gave me his name. Right before he died, I was able to have a conversation saying, man, thank you for giving me that name. The other ones you had to. Me, you got to choose to. So I'm thinking I'm your favorite. I'm a head taller than him. I don't look like anybody else. And he said, I couldn't be more proud of what you've done with this name. So now I've been able to give it to my son. I've been able to give it to my grandkids. See, that's what God does. He gives us his name. Where does God live? He lives on the inside of me. Let me ask you, if God lives on the inside of you, what the heck's going to stop you? The Bible says if God be for you, who could be against you? The way I translate that is, if God be for you, what difference does it make? What does it matter if somebody's against you? See what God's already done? He's already taken on all comers. And he's whipped them. He's beaten them. See, every battle that you feel like you're going to face in life has already been won. Do you understand that? No, for real, you've got to understand that. You're going to have issues with boys. You're going to have issues with other girls. You're going to have issues at school. You're going to suffer rejection. Things are going to happen. It's like, wait a second. He who has overcome the world lives on the inside of me now. No, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He didn't just win a couple plays. He didn't win a couple series. He didn't win an inning or two. He didn't win the first half. He won the whole dadgum shooting match. And you know what? Now I get to choose whether I walk in that victory or win or not. I get to choose whether my life is prosperous enough or not. And you know where it starts? It starts by you having the unmitigated gall to be able to stand up and say, I'm prosperous. Hey, man, what are we going to do? Man, I'm prosperous. You know what you're saying is, I've got control of my life again. God's bought back the control for me in my life, just like Roger Walsh is doing with those investments 20 years ago. And trust me, you'd have wanted to make those same investments that he started making. See, we're not throwing bad money at good money at bad. No, you know what? We're casting our lot for Jesus. He chose us. He has appointed us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Is that crazy talk? It's the things that Gentiles are seeking. All those people in the casino, all those people on Wall Street, all those people in government, what are they seeking? We don't have to do it that way. God just adds it to us. He just gives it to us. Man, the influence that all those guys want, we have. Why? The creator of the heavens and earth live on the inside of us. Oh my gosh, it's just so powerful. What we plan moving forward is the key. And know this, that we have to be ready for the storms that are brewing in our life. Son, there's a storm that's about to hit your life that, let me tell you, is devastating to anybody that doesn't know God. It's the way it works. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Do you understand that? Why do bad things happen? Because we're living in this world, but we're not of it. We are undefeatable. Do you understand that? We're indefatigable. Man, that we're not going to wear out. We're not wearing out. Man, we're not running low. No, our help comes from above. You know what we do? We put our eyes on God's word every single day, every way of our life. Man, you got. How many of you guys have an area of your life that you struggle with? Can I see your hands? Man, read God's word pertaining that area. Man, if it's finances, read God's word. Man, read Matthew the sixth chapter. If it's health, read Matthew the sixth chapter. If it's relationships, read Matthew the sixth chapter. But seek first, seek. It's a strong word. Man, we're not just kind of flippantly looking around. No, we're seeking it. It's that treasure that's hidden in that field. You know what God did? Listen, and this is our example. There's a treasure buried in the field, and instead of him trying to lease that field and go find that treasure, you know what he did? He bought the field. That field is our life. There's a treasure buried in our life. The squeeze that the world's going to put on you when the world comes and tries to squeeze Scott, you know what? God's just going to reveal that treasure that's on the inside of him. That's what happens when we get squeezed. Man, when people that don't know God get squeezed, man, there's no faith, there's no hope, there's no love. What do? They tap out. We get squeezed, it reveals that treasure on the inside of us. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says God will contend with who contends with us. This is such a powerful opportunity for us in our lives right now. What are you planning moving forward? Are you getting ready for that storm? If your house is built on the sand, it's devastating. If your house is built on the rock of God's word, the rock of Christ Jesus, the rock of a spirit-led life, you know what that happens with that storm? That storm hits your life, and then it's just got to go. Can't linger, can't stay. That next storm comes, I'm ready for the next storm. It's always something, but we're in this world, but not of it. We're in this world, but not of it. You know how strong your marriage is? How strong that you can trust, you can hope, and you can love. You know how strong your finances are? As strong as you can trust, you can hope, and you can love. See, this is interesting. You know, I had somebody just last week, a preacher, that said, man, what do you think of Joel Osteen? I said, what do you mean what I think of Joel Osteen? So I just don't know. What about his motives? I'm like, what do you mean what about his motives? Well, he just only preaches hope. I'm like, okay, listen to what you just said. Rewind it in your head. Play it again in your head. Realize you're an idiot for even asking that. And repent. He goes, I just don't know. I said, what don't you know? The Bible says this, there's faith, there's hope, and there's love. Let me tell you what sits in the middle. The peanut butter and jelly of our lives is hope. There's faith and there's love. But what bind them together is hope. And I'm telling you, what I'm preaching today, I'm preaching some hope, man. That prosperous days are ahead of you in your life in the name of Jesus. See, I threw in the name of Jesus. You know what that is? That's not just a little jab, that's a knockout punch. What God's done for you, and let me just tell you right now, we're closing this service and it's halftime. And what God has done on the last play of the first half from this part of your life is God's just scored for you. So now you're going into the locker room now with all the momentum. You're going into the locker room and you've just scored. You're like, okay, we got them. Whether we're receiving or we're kicking off in the second half, doesn't matter. You know what? What's my intention? My intention is to lay hold of the hope that's an anchor to my soul. I'm not going to drift off anymore. My life is prosperous in the name of Jesus. If that equates to money, great. If that equates to finances, great. If that equates to marriage or relationships, wonderful. But my life is prosperous. I am a prosperous man in the name of Jesus. Now, you know what? That's giving me back control of my life. That's all it is. Control of my finances, control of my health, control of my relationships, control of my marriage, control of my children. Oh, you're just controlling. It's better than being out of controlling. You just watch what you say. Just watch what you say. You made a note of every comment you made during the day. Oh, this job's driving me crazy. Driving me crazy. Oh, I don't know if this is ever going to work. Not ever going to work. It's little by little. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Man, how you doing? Oh, things are great. Man, ask me how I'm doing. Man, I got little enemies. I got little foxes. I've got to keep motoring. I've got to keep pressing. I've got to press toward the mark of the high call, the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do I ring the bell every day? No. Do I have regrets? Absolutely. Do I carry those into the next day? No. Why? God's mercies are new every morning. And what does His mercy do? His mercy just opens a door for me to take a step and walk in His grace. And let me tell you something. You get a guy like you, here, stand up here, son. You get a guy like you walking in God's grace. See, now what I see is just a man, flesh and blood. just trying to make it fallible, makes mistakes, does some good things, says some good things, says some rotten things. But you know what? When you begin to speak God's word, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Everything I put my hand to prospers, yet no weapon formed against me ever will. When I say things like that, let me tell you, every unseen force in this room, angelic or demonic, takes notice and has to bow to that. The same authority that God said it, when you say it, you have that same authority. Why? You're 4 years old again. Where does God live? Right there. So now when you hear people say, well, I'm just speaking from my heart. I mean, you look at your man standing in church. That's a different man than the man that came in here and walked in here and sat down with you. Why? Because greater is he who's in him than he who's in the world. So every storm, everything that's going to try to hit your life, man, as long as you're firmly rooted and grounded in faith, and the foundation of your life is trust in God, that storm's going to hit you and blow right by you. And you know what? The world's going to notice. Why? Because their homes are in ruin. Because that storm's not coming in just jacking with us individually. Everybody in this room's going through something right now. Every man in this room is wishing they'd be standing right there. You didn't come here to stand. You came here to sit and just go through church and maybe hear a good word. No, you know what? This is halftime. God just scored for you in your life. You've got the momentum now. You hear me? I don't care what the score, what you think the score is, God just scored for you. So you could leave here and continue in that scoring path. Continue to win. And it's the last thing I'm going to say, but thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. Everybody say always. Say it again, son. Say it again. Always causes to triumph in Christ. Now listen, and makes manifest the savor or the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I want you to go out to your truck. I want you to go to your home. I want you to go with your, have lunch with your family. And I want you to understand it smells like God. The scent of God's on that boy's life right now. God's hands in your life. You know, God's called you to ministry. And you know what? When the devil's hands in your life, he's trying to suppress you. When God's hands on your life, he's lifting you. So you got to decide how you're going to walk now. Are you going to walk suppressed? Or are you going to walk lifted? See, that's what God wants to do. Is there anybody here your life's not right with God? Anybody here that you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life? If your life's not right with God, nobody's going to judge you or condemn you except for the grace of God, so are we, me especially. I'll tell you how, I have the propensity in and of myself to be a knucklehead. But if you're here and your life's not right with God, let me just tell you, it's real easy. Just a decision. Your sin doesn't take you to hell. Your pride does. Ruh-roh. You know what I mean? Pride comes before the fall. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.